Inspector General. Tom? Woody, can you stay for 5 minutes? As long as you're here?
Yeah.
We'll try and make it 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Inspector General, yes.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, let me tell you what I think about Inspector General.
Please.
Based upon, Bill Solta has called me earlier today. He's kind of been taking the lead on the homework. But he's got the flu, okay? Told me he wasn't going to make it. So then I spent, I don't know, an hour and a half or so reading some of these materials that went over the other day on Inspector General. And I'd have to say that first, the question was raised, and I sent an email around today. I don't know who saw it, but the question was raised, would an Inspector General in Loudoun County have the ability to investigate, or whatever word you want to use, the operations of the school system? Not the school board, but the school system. And so I reached out and I talked to Mr. Roberts, who Julie said would have the answer, because he usually does. And he said that the board, he provided a specific statute that I've sent around to you guys that said that the Board of Supervisors has the ability to do this. And basically, if they have the ability to do that, they can delegate that to their staff or to an Inspector General or whatever. So pretty clearly, pretty definitively, an Inspector General, if appointed by the board, could get its nose into school board operations, which I would have to say that my initial reaction was that makes it a fairly easy recommendation, because A, you know, it increases the potential scope of what the person could look into and thus the benefit of it. And B, maybe I'm influenced by the fact that the school board has been stonewalling a lot of issues, and that there's a perception that maybe there needs to be a little more review of them. So that was kind of, Julie and I were going, well, maybe that makes it a fairly easy recommendation, and we should focus our discussion on, you know, what is the scope of the person's authority, who do they report to, because that's a key issue. Then I reached out to Mr. Hemstreet because I thought, well, what advice does he have? I mean, I think if we disagreed with Mr. Hemstreet, we wouldn't be hesitant to let him know. But in general, I at least am heavily influenced by what his perception might be. He knows a lot more about this stuff than we do. And to my surprise, he is fairly definitive in saying, hey, you know, Ken Reed can ask that, hey, maybe we should have an Inspector General. But if you look at the structure of Inspector Generals, this goes back to the structure of Loudoun County government. He says, and you know, and I'm relying on him for this, that, you know, in general, Inspector Generals are appointed when you have, as in Montgomery County, the model we've been looking at, you've got an elected county administrator and you've got an elected county council. And they are, you know, there's like two sources of power. And the Inspector General gives the ability for, you know, both of those to be subject to scrutiny by someone who is, you know, independent and so forth.
Who does he report to at Loudoun in Montgomery?
Well, there is an advisor. There's
an elected. There's a county council and a county executive. The IG. I just meant there's two elected bodies that are arguably competing bodies. I don't know who the other
on their website, which I looked at this morning. Bill sent us a link to their website.
Right. I couldn't tell who he reports.
It was
to.
I know there's a six-person advisory board of citizens, you know, who are appointed, but whether the Inspector General reports only to them, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, after listening to Hemstreet thinks, he says, look, in the last fiscal cycle, he felt that it was important that the county have an internal audit function. He put that in the budget, and it was approved by the board, and the board has a line item in the budget for internal audit, okay? And when we say internal audit, not just counting beans, but looking for efficiencies, looking for waste, fraud, and abuse. And apparently the staff made recommendations to the board of earlier this year. Julie, you can advise on this, that, you know, the following things are things that might be looked at. And he feels the Board of Supervisors has the full ability to recommend or to investigate the school board under that statute. They have this internal audit function, and he was pretty strong about it. He's like, you know, he has absolutely no idea of what the benefit would be from an inspector general, or, critical factor, who that person would report to. And so, you know, I started out this earlier today thinking, well, maybe this is a no-brainer that we make the recommendation, and then by the time I finished talking to him, I thought, well, you got one guy, Ken Reed, pushing for an inspector general. Everybody else is like, you know, well, we tried it before, explain to us what the benefit is, and Mr. Hemstreet is pretty adamant that he thinks it's a bad idea.
Well, I know this. We don't have nearly enough information to offer a pick. We need, at the very least, research what Loudoun did. The good news is Loudoun's done it. So therefore, there's an experience here. Now, I talked to Mr. Zern the other day who went through this. There are plenty of people here in the county who went through it, who experienced it, and had an opinion of why it worked or didn't work. I think we should go through that exercise and understand what we did, what it was trying to do, and what worked or didn't work about it. I think in terms of the Montgomery County example, it's exactly right. These IGs tend to be more useful when you have competing power centers. We don't have a competing power center here. It's the Board of Supervisors only.
Everybody reports to the board.
However, the wrinkle into all this, the very interesting wrinkle, is LCPS, which is the ongoing issue. And if we're broadening this to, I would say, a broader scope of investigation, I'm not sure who this individual reports to, this IG department reports to, but I think it's a very interesting angle. I'm actually surprised Jack Roberts came back and so quickly said we have access to LCPS. I would like to see a legal opinion on that, Frank. I'd like to see an opinion, a paper that says we can do that, because that's a very controversial thing to say given how many walls Dr. Hadrick has put up just to even get information out of LCPS. So the fact that we now not only get information, we can have a guy go in there and investigate them, this is a very interesting leap to me. I would find that very interesting, true, fascinating. But that, to me, changes the dynamic a little bit. Now we're not only within the audit function of general government and within the Board of Supervisors and its government finance and government operations structure, now we potentially have an IG that is, in a sense, looking at two different power centers, general government and LCPS. So it's to me, it's much more intriguing now. Personally, Bob, I don't have an opinion one way or the other. I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, because I'm not sure what it even can do. Never mind who it would report to. But I would like to see us flesh this out beyond just looking at statutes of how to structure it. I think we need to. The great news is we've done it. And I didn't pay too much attention when we did it.
Well, Julie was around, and we talked about it today, and I think we touched on this a little bit at the last meeting, but the guy, Bert, whatever his name was, he was appointed as the Inspector General. This was in the 90s. The county was smaller, more parochial. The supervisors were really, at that time, much more part-time. They weren't around much. They didn't have any staffs at that time, no administrative aides. And the guy reported to, quote, the Board of Supervisors. But the Board of Supervisors, you know, gave him no guidance whatsoever as to what he should look at, no day-to-day administration or control. You know, when we've expressed skepticism at prior meetings about whether there's really enough waste, fraud, or abuse, you know, in Loudoun County, you know, this is not Chicago and it's not Atlantic City and whatever, in terms of corruption, okay? But Julie said nobody used the hotline when it was set up.
Very few people.
You know, there was basically no county staff who were, you know, dropping a dime on somebody to be a whistleblower. It didn't happen. There was just this big silence out there. It was not, Julie, you said, your recollection, not a question of Bert's, whatever his name was, qualifications. I mean, he was assigned some things by the board, and he did those quite competently, but most of the time,
He
had nothing to do, and eventually people said, you know, you got nothing to do, what are we paying you for? You know, nothing personal against him. So that was the experience we had before.
Why don't we put for a month until Bill comes back with work that he's begun doing, and the rest of us will jump in and try to help him.
But I would prefer we not just leave it to one individual to do it. I think we ought to have several individuals working this. I think part of it is a serious investigation of what was done here. I mean, I know we have a lot of anecdotal comments. I would like to talk to people, including Mr. Zern and others, who were there, who were experienced it, either a member of the board or as a county official who worked with that individual, who can really comment directly on what exactly happened. We have a lot of anecdotes. I have my own. I mean, I agree, it didn't seem to go very well. I have little stories too, but that's all they are, anecdotes. I think we ought to try to formalize that with a piece of research. And I think actually that's more germane than just
looking at what other statutes of the jurisdictions.
Well, the other question, I hear you on that, and I'm looking for volunteers.
I told Bill at the committee of the whole meeting that I would be happy to help him with research.
Good, all right. Well, I mean, researching and getting more specifically into the background of what happened with our prior experience, talking to a number of people, that's a logical thing for Barbara to work on. And then the other thing I think is, if Mr. Hemstreet is saying that really the structure of Loudoun County's government is such that he doesn't see how this would be a benefit or, you know, how it would work, it didn't work before, but basically I think he's saying it's not necessary because of the structure of our government, I'd be very interested in knowing whether there's any other counties in Virginia that have an inspector general, and if so, what is the structure of their government? Because I don't.
I'd be happy to look at that. I know quite a few county administrators.
Okay, good.
I'd be happy to look at that.
Because you know, it's if we found that, you know, no other county in Virginia that's looked at this that has a structure similar to Loudoun's has concluded that it would work, that's a factor. Or if we find that, no, there's six other, whatever Tim says, there's six other counties that are doing it, and here's how they structured it. I mean, I don't think that a template from Maryland, given the structure of government in Virginia, I don't think a template from Maryland is going to be helpful.
My thought on it in general is it could be very useful depending on the scope, but I think it would be very difficult to do it properly because I believe it would take a state code revision because I don't think the inspector general should be appointed by the Board of Supervisors. They're beholden to them as soon as they're appointed to them. And, you know, it really doesn't provide that independent function. And I think an appointment by the circuit court judges would be appropriate. People can apply, people can give their qualifications. The county can say we're paying $100,000 or we're giving you an office budget of $250,000, but the circuit court judges pick the IG. Because as long as you serve at the will of the Board of Supervisors, you're always tiptoeing around the issues. You're not independent.
Yeah. That's an interesting model because I've struggled with it as well. If we're going to do this, and I can see, and I've got tremendous respect for Tim, but I wouldn't expect any county administrator to raise your hand and say we need an ID.
No.
So I wouldn't expect anybody to do that.
It doesn't surprise me that Tim wouldn't support it.
I wouldn't expect that position to report to a county administrator because arguably all those functions are covered. I completely agree with you, Mark, that I struggle with the idea of it reporting to the board and then it becomes an instrument of the board. And we're back to the same reason we said the assessor should be moved out from under the board. And then the question is, so who does this person report to? That may be an interesting approach.
Well, I think they essentially report to the public. You know, they're much like the Commonwealth attorney. I'm defending the people. You know.
Right.
You know, how they publish and enforce their decisions, I haven't the faintest idea, but they're working for the residents of Loudoun County.
So you'll work. Take a look at what else has been in the Commonwealth. Barbara, you're going to work with Bill on what we did and what worked and didn't work.
I think you're going to dig into it. Doesn't need to be with Bill, but do you talk to Julie and get the names? Roger Zern was here.
There's several staff.
Jack was here. You know, various people were here.
Okay, give me a list. I was thinking of myself as being Bill's gopher, because I'm better with direction. Didn't you say something at the last meeting that the recourse people had when there wasn't an IG, the current recourse would be to go to the sheriff's department.
Yes.
As far as who they're accountable to and who they're answerable to and who appoints them, if they find something, wouldn't it be appropriate for them to report it to the circuit court if that's who appoints them?
I guess it's criminal in nature, otherwise I would think not. But I don't know, I'd have to give some thought.
If I may, the only thing I would suggest, it's really very important that the questions asked and hopefully the responses given relate to the function and not the performance of the person.
Yeah.
Because that really shouldn't be discussed. So the function, the reporting responsibility, maybe work products that were done, and that's a really fine line. So I will suggest a few.
You say that because you don't think we should be discussing, because we don't want people saying bad things about the guy in public meetings.
Yeah, exactly. His job performance was his job performance, and technically is part of his personnel record and protected. So okay. I guess what part of my point is, I wouldn't go there in your questions, and if anybody starts with that kind of response, I would just...
Redirect?
Yeah.
That's
good point.
I would be happy if you have... If you have some suggested format.
Questions?
Yeah.
Well, certainly there was a position description. I provided that to...
There's no doubt of the board item you can find. There's no doubt that authorized this. I suspect there's some reporting in and so forth. There's probably an entire file on this position.
Yeah.
What was it crafted to do?
Well, the issue you're raising also goes to the concern Scott voiced the last time, was that it has such an opportunity to be intensely political that...
Ham Street was going, well, can this person investigate board members? And I go, I would assume so.
Or the government?
I would assume so. And he goes, well, hey.
Any public position, body, person,
that's
I would guess.
That's why they can't be appointed by the board, in my opinion.
Right.
Quite frankly, I think the reason it was re-raised under the 2007 board was intensely political.
Yeah, right.
But,
we want to investigate Tulloch, or we want to investigate whatever.
Yeah.
Well, it could be an avenue for Nearsville to appeal rather than going down a lawsuit path, right from the get-go. It could be an avenue for the tax assessor issue to have come up if the Government Reform Commission didn't exist.
Well, yeah, I have the idea that the function is not necessarily, it's not limited to so-called waste, fraud, and abuse. If somebody, you have a hotline and you have an email that, people can write in suggestions to say, I think you should take a look at such and such because I think we're spending $1 million too much on how we purchase fuel or whatever the issue is, and the person can look into that for efficiencies. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Are we done?
I think we're done, unless anybody has anything else.
It's good.
Entertain a motion to adjourn.
Oh, I'll make that motion.
And I apologize for my intense lateness.
You missed a very enjoyable fire and rescue meeting, which as